Good evening. Before we get started tonight, I'd like to tell you about a preacher that was out visiting in the community. And he was going door to door and knocking on each person's door and visiting with all the neighbors around. Came to this one door and he knocked on it and no one came to it. But he could kind of hear there was something going on inside and knew someone was probably there. So he knocked again. Of course, nobody answered the door. So he takes out his business card and he writes Revelations 3:20 on the back of it. And slides it under the door. And that verse reads, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." That Sunday when the offering was collected, they got all the offering together and took it back. And the preacher noticed that his business card was back in the offering plate. But this time there's another verse written on the back beside his, and it said Genesis 3:10. So the curious preacher looked it up, and he laughed as he read it, and it reads, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid." Now, I won't tell you which preacher this was, or which house he was visiting. Y'all have to decide if you know who that is by yourself. The worst thing is, that has nothing to do with my lesson tonight. What I'd like to talk about tonight is being on the mountaintop. My grandmother was born and raised in a place called Cooley Mountain. It's a small place in White County. Her mom and dad that raised the family there was Mama Cooley and Papa Cooley. That made it easy for us kids and grandkids to call them. They raised 8 children there. They raised 4 boys and 4 girls. And Papa Cooley, he worked in the coal mines just up the mountain from where they lived. And he walked to work every day, and then he would walk home, and he would work on the farm there at the house. When I grew up, I spent several nights as a kid with my grandmother and spent the night, and she told stories up on top of stories. And a lot of times she told stories about being up on the mountain, up on Cooley Mountain. And she talked about having to go get water, and she talked about having to walk to school back and forth each way. She talked about working on the farm and the hard work they had to do. They also hunted, and they fished, and they played a lot. But mostly she just kept talking about that hard work up on the mountain. But every story that she would tell about being on that mountain, she would talk about how proud that she was raised on Cooley Mountain. But one of the reasons that I love the mountain is when I was growing up, there's a place just up from that. It's called Bondycroft. Well, in Bondycroft in the wintertime, if it snows just about a half an inch, and Bondycroft can't go to school, none of us can go to school. So I always liked getting out of school because it would rain up on top of the mountain. Some of you may have some special memories about mountain experiences. There's so many stories in the Bible that takes place up on the mountain. One of the first examples that we have in the Bible is when Moses talks about his mountain experience in Exodus 3. It's when Moses is in Horeb, or the mountain of God. In Exodus 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the far side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was not that was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight.' When the Lord saw that he had come over to look, God called to him from the bush. He said, 'Moses, Moses,' and Moses says, 'Here am I.'" What a wonderful mountain experience that Moses had. Sometimes I think I wish that I would have had that experience, but I don't think I would have had the same reaction as what Moses did. First off, seeing a bush that's burning that doesn't burn up, and then to hear a voice that came out of the bush. If he would have said, "Todd, Todd," I don't think he would have seen me until I was down the hill. But Moses says, here am I. And then in Exodus 19, we learn of another mountain experience that Moses had, as he traveled up and down Mount Sinai, as the Lord would call to him. In Exodus 19:20, said the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. And there, of course, we know is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. He made a few trips up and down that mountain because of the things that was going on at the bottom of the mountain. But I like to focus on the personal relationship that Moses had with God, that he got to travel up and down that mountain and talk with God. All the way from Exodus 19, all the way through Exodus 31, we hear about the trips of Moses going up and down the mountain. In Exodus 31, in verse 18, says, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. What a wonderful time that Moses had on the mountain. There are so many more examples in the Bible of mountain experiences. You have Elijah on Mount Carmel. You have David and Saul going around both sides of the mountain. There are so many stories to tell from the Old Testament. But we'll move ahead and talk about Jesus when he went to the mountain. In Matthew 4, we learn of Satan tempting Jesus on the mountain. Matthew 4:8 says, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know, that's when I feel the closest to God, is when I'm up on the mountain, when I get to see all that splendor. I've been to Mount Eagle and University of the South up there, been to the Great Smoky Mountains and even Bondicroft looking over the valleys in Sparta. But all that, when you're above the trees and you get to see all that splendor, I think that Satan's tactics backfired on him when he took Jesus up there and he said, let's look at all the splendor and all the things that your Father has made. In the very next chapter of Matthew, we see Jesus go to another mountain. In Matthew 5, it says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And that's what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Throughout all of Jesus' ministries, he's traveled from shoreline to hillside to mountaintops, teaching and preaching and performing miracles. In all the gospel accounts, we learn of one of the last mountain trips that Jesus made. As he walks out of the city of Jerusalem into Golgotha, the place of the skull, to Mount Calvary. A lonely, sad, prophecy-fulfilling, but fatal trip up the mountain where Jesus is to be crucified. It's where Jesus died on the mountain for us. But sadness is short-lived. After 3 days, he arose from the grave. And later in Matthew, we read about how Jesus goes back to the mountain. In Matthew 28, verse 16, then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Imagine the view they had from Galilee, the sea down below. And Jesus said, meet me in the mountains of Galilee. That's where he gave them the Great Commission as they're looking over all the land. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus began and ended his ministry on the mountain. But there's one other mountain that we read about in the Bible. As the writer of Hebrews describes, that powerful mountain that we talked about at the very first of the lesson, that mountain that Moses had traveled back and forth, up and down. But then he tells about a new mountain. In Hebrews 12, just as he's finished talking about Mount Sinai with Moses, he says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose name are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And then John in Revelation 14:1, he says, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion." It's the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate mountaintop, is to be with God. You may have had some wonderful mountain experiences. I know I have. I've got to travel and see a lot of mountains over time. Like I said, from the Smoky Mountains all around. I didn't even get to talk about Rocky Top, good old Rocky Top. And all these memories are special. They're all special to us in those mountain memories. But if you've never given your life to God, to have the assurance of the heavenly home, to really feel the presence of God on that spiritual mountain, or if you've lost that personal relationship with God, we'll ask that you please come as we stand and sing.